You may be seated. I kind of like that when I come up, kind of a hum. We have a new microphone, and they're trying to get it better, but we'll work through it today. As you can see, the church has been under remodel, and we've done a lot of things in a short amount of time. So, sometimes the hardest thing about getting to church is the first step out the door. How many people can identify with that? You know, you're going to church. I'm going to church tomorrow morning, and tomorrow morning comes, and there's something there that gives you an excuse, maybe a flat tire, maybe whatever. I heard a story about a lady that decided that she was going to go to Easter Sunday no matter what. And early in the morning, she decided the church she was going to go to was about 30 minutes away. So she had to start early. And so she got in her car that had been having some problems. It was starting to sputter. It was hard to start. But she said, I'm going to church. And she got in her car, and about 10 minutes down the road, it just started slowing down. So she pulled into a Walmart parking lot and said, I'm going to church. So she dialed up an Uber, and if you've ever done that, that's pretty neat how that happens. Somebody will show up in a few minutes. And they showed up, and she just jumped in the car. It was a pretty large car, and it identified to be in the right Uber. And she was deciding, I'm going to go to church. And the driver took off, and a few minutes, probably about halfway there, she decided, I haven't told the driver what part of the building I want to be delivered at. So I'm just going to ask him, and she said, excuse me, and the driver didn't respond. And it was a large car, and he was kind of, a little bit far away, and she thought, well, maybe he just didn't hear me. And so she tapped him on the shoulder and said, excuse me. Ah! The driver yelled at the top of his lungs, and the car spun out into oncoming traffic, into their lane, and on the shoulder of the road. Both of them just sit there for a minute without saying anything. And the lady in the back seat said, I am so sorry. I didn't know that I would startle you that much. And the driver said, No, you didn't do anything wrong. This is my first day to drive an Uber. You got to know that for 25 years, I've been driving a Hearst. Can you imagine? Thought somebody in the back was dead. Now they're tapping you on the shoulder. A paradigm shift. Something that you didn't expect out of the unordinary. Something that just doesn't make sense. That's kind of what we're going to be talking about this morning. But before I start, I wanted to again bring an illustration that I've brought many times to the church. Because on a day like Easter, there's a lot of people that will go to church and maybe just kind of hear it for the first time, the story of Jesus as we celebrate at Christmas coming as a baby. But we don't worship a baby. We worship the fact that he grew into a man and willingly laid down his life for you and me. And today, to again put that in perspective, sometimes we get so busy that not only do we go through life like it's a blur. For me, I just realized this is 32 years, 32 Easters that I've celebrated as part of our church. And 32 years seems like a blink. And sometimes we begin to think about our life kind of in a way that it's all about the guy with the thumbs. You know what I mean? It's all about us. But to put it in perspective, and again, let me explain it this way. I brought with me a verbal, because there's no expense too great for our church, the golf ball. And this morning, I want you to see, because, our earth is pretty good size, and all you have to do is think about today walking home, and you realize it's a long ways home. And if you had to walk across the United States, you'd be like, oh my goodness, it's forever. Just recently I flew to Asia with my sons, and it took over 25 hours to get home because of the layovers and different things on the way. And it just was a long place to go just to around the world, not to mention a full circumference. But really, in the scope of the universe, our Earth is very small. I don't know if you knew that. But in our universe, the sun, the big yellow one, is a star. And we've figured out through scientists and different measurements that if our Earth was the size of a golf ball, that you could put 900,000 Earths inside the sun. Let me give you an understanding. If the sun was the size of a school bus, you could put 900,000 of these inside that school bus. That's how big the sun is. But that's not the end of the illustration. The scientists have found that there's one of the largest stars. It's not the largest, but to give you an idea, it's called the Canis Majoris, the big dog star. And the big dog star is so big, now watch this, if the Earth was this size right here, and you put it on the ground, let's put it right here on the platform, and I don't know if you can see that, but if the Earth was the size of a golf ball and you put it on the ground, Canis Majoris would be the height of Mount Everest, the largest peak on our planet, Mount Everest. But to give you even a maybe a perspective that you can see, they tell us that you could put 7 quadrillion Earths inside of Canis Majoris. And you say, Pastor, I didn't think I was going to come to Easter service and hear about stars and golf balls and stuff like that. We're not like every other church. I just want to tell you that. But what I'm trying to do is give you a perspective that if you see how big our universe is, it doesn't take long for you to meditate on that a minute and go, you know, there has to be a God, the creator of the universe, someone that is over all of this. It isn't just, there's got to be a lot more than just our lives of 70 to 80, 100 years. Let's say 120 years. We all want to live longer. It's about living and 120 years. It's got to be more than that. Come on. And it's not long until you start begin meditating on there's got to be more than what we experience just in our lifetime here. There's got to be an afterlife, and all through history, you can study it. Man has always gone to the place of thinking there's got to be an afterlife. And if there's an afterlife and there's an eternity, which eternity means forever and ever and ever, and ever and ever and ever and ever, there is no end. Then we come back to thinking, okay, if there is a God and there is an eternity, eternity is too long to be wrong. I want to get it right. I want to know. Because why is it that we believe the way that we believe? Why do we believe Jesus was God? This morning, I want us to look at the foundation of our faith. And stick with me to the end of the service, because as we talk about the foundation, I'm talking about the root. You know, the root gives benefit to produce the fruit, but the foundation, the root of our faith as Christians, it goes further than even the teachings of Jesus Christ. All through history, there's been mentors that have had, you know, a teaching, a prophet that's come around that had some good teaching, and people would ponder it and go, wow, yeah, I can live my life like that, or I can follow that teacher. It goes more than even the teachings. You know, there's some people, and maybe not a lot, but there's some people that grow up and they feel like it's the country that you were raised in, and that's the faith that you have. That's just what it is. In other words, if you grow up in Israel, well, you're a Jew. That's you. If you grow up in the Middle East, well, maybe Muslim. Muhammad is my guy. Huh? What if you grow up in Asia? You know, maybe Buddha. Buddha, that's who you are. You don't have a choice. And some people think if you grow up maybe in Europe or the United States, well, then you're just a Christian. That's just, it goes way further than that. I hope you understand that. As I said, it's not a country. It's not a teaching or a worldview that we, it goes further than that. Now listen to me. It goes further than even the death of Jesus Christ. It goes further than just having faith. You know, some Christians come to the point of understanding and explaining. You just have to believe, you know, and they kind of get that look on their face. So you believe. Okay, I can get it. Believe. Wait, just a minute. Believe. Yeah, okay, got it. It goes further than that. This morning, the foundation of our faith as Christians comes down to one event. One event that's a foundation that everything is. Now, Pastor, let me tell you, there's a byproduct. Yes, I know of better lives and being a blessed person and the abundance and walking in love and seeing all the things that God taught us. But I want you to see that it's the foundation that comes down to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of all of our Christian belief system, all of our faith. You know, let me explain this. Again, all through history, you've had different religions or different belief systems that start worldviews of how to live your life. And leaders have come up and they've had a group of followings that, of course, start small and then they grow and they grow and they grow. And the leader dies and the group that follows them has a mindset of keep the dream alive. We're going to keep the dream alive. They have rallies. Keep the dream alive. We're never going to forget. We're always going to remember the teachings of our teacher, our prophet. The difference of the Christian faith is when our leader, Jesus Christ, died, you know what his followers did? They huddled in a room scared to death. After that, they decided the gig's up and they went fishing. It's over. We have been fooled. What in the world happened? We were so convinced. They had a rally, but it wasn't keep the dream alive. It was more like keep me alive. The people that were there began to worry that because they believed in something of Jesus Christ and it wasn't true anymore, that they were going to come and get them. And so it was like for a period, every man for themselves. They huddled in what was called an upper room. The game was over. It was a fraud. And I thought about this many times because I wonder myself if it was me in that situation, of course, I want to say, no, I wouldn't have a problem. But chances are, I wasn't there. I know that just like them, they were men that had actually experienced, think about it, they experienced the miracles. They experienced the teachings. They experienced the testimonies of people that said, wow, that sermon changed my life. As a pastor, I kind of like to hear that myself. But still, that didn't make the difference. They were scared. They thought it was over. Now, think about it. Why was it over? Why would they get to the place where they would actually go, you know what? The gig's up. I don't believe anymore. Why was it that they were scared? And let me tell you this. When I think about it, it's because of three statements that Jesus himself made. Have you ever thought about this? He was so specific of who he was that there was no going back. He was either a liar or a lunatic. Think about it. The first statement was that there was no way that you were going to get to God except through him. What? There's not all roads lead to God? No, only one way, and that is through me, Jesus. The second thing that he said that, again, was so specific is that he claimed to be God. What? You're God? Seriously? All 6 foot, whatever, is God? The creator of the universe, the golf ball, the size of the universe, you are God? Very specific. And then the third thing is why they thought it was over is because he was so specific down to what he said was, and in 3 days after I die, I'm going to come back from the dead. What? What is that about? Talk about a thriller. They thought, what? You're telling me that you're God? There's no way to God but through you. And then on a third day, 3 days, only 3 days, you're going to come back from the dead? Now listen, when they saw him crucified, all of a sudden the dream died on that day. They thought, there's no way, no matter how good the teachings are, loving your brothers yourself and the parable of the good, the parable of the good Samaritan or the prodigal son, all those are good. Boy, they'll preach. But even they came and they originated from a guy that was a liar. I want you to hear this. I want you to feel this, because in that moment, they had summed it up as, we have followed either a liar or a lunatic. How would God, they probably thought back, how could God allow himself to be tied up by a bunch of Romans and led off and beaten and all that? How did we buy into that? But there was something that made a difference. Because if he wasn't a liar, if he wasn't a lunatic, then there's only one other explanation, is that he was Lord. And what happened is, on 3 days, he arose from the dead. Can you believe that guy? He said he was going to do it, and here we are huddled in it. But it happened. Oh, game on. Here we go. Boom, chicka, 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 boom, chicka. And these guys that are chicken-hearted, that are up in an upper room, these are the chicken-hearted disciples that are going, no, I don't know him. I have no clue who you're talking about. These are the guys that are running in the darkness, even half naked, to get away from the other people that are accusing them of knowing Jesus. They, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they go out and change the world, and it's still being changed today. Now think about it. That's why you and I got up this morning, and even if you had car troubles, you're going to church, because it's Easter Sunday morning. We call it Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that we get together and celebrate Jesus coming back from the grave 2,000 years ago, and we're still celebrating. Not because of the teachings. Listen, I'm all about the teachings. I'm all about preaching sermons. But it wasn't about the teaching. It wasn't even about the miracles. Can you believe they saw him walking on water? Feeding 5,000? But still they were afraid until the day that he came up out of the grave. I love that song. First time I ever heard it was this morning, when God tells the grave, let him go. Woo! The hair on my back of my neck stood up. Not that I have hair on my back of my neck. It wasn't about the crucifixion, because they had many times seen Jewish people crucified. It wasn't about that. We're here today, and the foundation of our Christian faith is because they saw a dead man walking with their own eyes. These are guys that had to have something dramatic happen, and it happened. Now, think about this, because if you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, maybe you're here and you're a seeker, tell me about it. Let me explain this. Not only did these men that were, I'm not just making fun of them, but you can see that they were somewhat of a coward, but turn into world changers. And because they see a dead man walking, but listen to this. Overnight, nearly thousands of people change in Jerusalem because of what they saw. Not just what they heard in a sermon, not because of a teaching, not because anything, but they saw Jesus Christ, and they abandoned hundreds and hundreds of years, really thousands of years, of following a faith that said that here's the law, you got to follow the law. And all of a sudden, they, what we call, convert over to Christianity. They believe in this man named Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Based on what? Based on an event. The event was the resurrection. Now, let me say this. And it's up to you. We all have a free choice. But for John Miller, when a man says that when he dies, he's going to come back from the grave in 3 days, and he does it, I'm in. I'm a follower. I'm a believer. He's God. I put my hand up and say, choose me for your team. And my God says, I already chose you for my team from the foundations of the beginning of the earth. I've adopted you into my family. All you have to do is receive what I did for you. Listen, it's all of us have a fear of not being dead, but getting dead. Anybody with me on that? It's in getting dead. And Jesus says, I've got the authority to resurrect those people that follow me that will have life for eternity. I'm in. When a person rises from the grave, let me tell you, I'm in. Well, what did you teach me to do? Jump rope, wear beads. I'll do it. I'm all in. Not because of a sermon. Not because they saw a man die. What we'll see, the political disruption of this event was so catastrophic. The most powerful country in the world, Rome, that is spread throughout all the world almost at this time, has to get involved because the disruption that is happening, they are going to say, you know, to the religious leaders that are in control of Israel because they're a puppet. Who's in control? If you're not in control, we'll come down and put who's in control in power. The people in power said, we have to take care of this. But what has happened is the person that was killed by the Romans now has come up from the grave. No. Do you know the Bible says that over 500 people saw him for 40 days walking around? Would that not light you up? Think about it. Here they have put their faith in him, and all of a sudden they said, what? He died, and then 3 days later, he's going to walk around with us for 40 days? Come on. Do you have anything inside that can't catch on fire? Hopefully not all of you are full of non-fire resistance. You should be like, woo! That's why I follow Jesus. Because because we always want to get in the debates and our God is better than your God. Who do you worship? Our God is better than that. Why do you worship? We don't have to say because my mama does. We said because our God came out of the grave and that's why we put our faith in him and what he has taught us. That's why we have better marriages. That's why we have children that walk around prettier than everybody. Whatever. Come on. I want to look at something because Jesus comes to the disciples, and if you know the story, you know, even there's a guy named Thomas, the doubting, you know, guy, and sometimes they're in a group like this, there's always a doubting Thomas that goes, if I don't put my hands in his nail prints in the side, I will not believe. Jesus comes to him later and says, blessed are you only believe because you saw, Thomas, but there is a time where people will believe that never, that's you and I. I want you to look at something in Acts. Now, we call it Acts, A-C-T-S, because it's the Acts of what happens after the resurrection. It's what happens when a group of men, and then it spreads, and it begins to spread. Man, let me tell you, more than any force, it starts taking over Israel. And in Acts chapter 2, the disciples, again, they're together. They're experiencing, they're hearing reports coming. And they begin to think back of what Jesus said. And Jesus said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem, and then you'll go to Judea and Samaria and the other parts of the earth. But for right now, I want you to stay until the Holy Spirit falls. And now listen, this is like 50 days after what we call Easter and the resurrected day. And what happens is Jesus said, stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. But I want you to see what happens, because here's a group of men. And out of their mouth is a testimony to us in Acts chapter 2, what happens. So we're at church. I think we can read from the Bible, can't we? Okay, let's do it. Acts chapter 2, it says, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, this is the Passion Translation, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house. And from out of the heavenly realm, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated in tongues of fire and engulfed them all. You're saying, what? See, this is what Jesus said. I'm going to, when I leave, it's better for you because the Holy Spirit's going to come. Now listen, the Spirit of God is not going to just be around. He's going to be able to live inside of those people that believe in me. Watch what happens. In verse 4, it says they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages that they'd never have learned. Go down to verse 21. It says, then Peter stands up and says, but everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You got to remember, a lot of these people that are in Jerusalem right now during this time of period, they're going, what? What in the world is happening? And Peter gets up and begins to explain. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Peter continued, people of Israel. I love this because he's so bold. People of Israel. He's in front of all this group of people. This is the guy that just a few days earlier was watching as they are arresting Jesus and about ready to crucify him. And a little girl that had no really reputation. She wasn't a daughter of someone big or something. She's a little slave girl. Aren't you one of his disciples? And he says, not me. He runs away. This is that guy. After the resurrection, after the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter, all of a sudden he's a force to be reckoned. You, people of Israel. He's a preacher. Listen to this. Again, verse 22. Peter continued, people of Israel, listen to the fact. Jesus was victorious, was a man on a divine mission whose authority was clearly proven. Why did Jesus have to be resurrected? It verifies our faith and validates him as God. He was on authority with a clearly proven his mission. For you know how God performed many powerful miracles, signs, and wonders through him. This man's destiny was prearranged for God, for God knew that Jesus would be handed over to be crucified and that you would execute him on a cross by the hands of lawless men, yet it was all part of a predetermined plan. Now listen to this. We sang the song when God told the grave to let him go. Verse 24 says, God destroyed the cords of death and raised him up because it was impossible. Listen, I love that translation. It was impossible for death's power to hold him prisoner. Can you see it? God has resurrected Jesus and all of us have seen him. Now, there's something about somebody that is a witness that says, I saw him. That's what he's saying. Then God exalted Jesus, him, to the right hand upon the throne, the highest honor, and the Father gave him the authority to send the promised Holy Spirit, which is being poured out upon us today. This is what you're seeing and hearing. If you'll go through the New Testament, how many times the new church, the disciples, preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, after Peter says this, the people that are there, you got to remember, these aren't people that just were there during the crucifixion and the resurrection. These are people that are visiting Jerusalem and they're hearing this and they're going, what? And here's what happens. Here's how the crowd responds to Peter's words. When they heard this, they were crushed and realized what they had done to Jesus. Deeply moved, they said to Peter and the other apostles, what do we need to do, brothers? There's somebody here today that might be saying the same thing. What do I need to do to be saved? Peter replied, repent and return to God. And each one of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, to have your sins removed. Then you may take hold of the gift of the Holy Spirit, for God's promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your families, for those yet to be born. That's me. I hadn't been born yet. You hadn't been born yet. The Holy Spirit is for you and your families and for those at the chapel in 2024. Amen. And for everyone whom the Lord, our God, calls to himself. Now listen to this. Peter preached to them and warned them with the words, be rescued from this wayward and perverse culture of the world. Those who believed the word, listen to this, very important. That day numbered 3,000. They were all baptized and added to the church. If you go on through the Acts, the actual events of the New Testament in the book of Acts of the disciples, you'll see how many people begin to come to know the Lord. I mean, it is crazy in our terms. 3,000 on that day joined the church. What does joining the church in this time mean? Joining the church means they're dedicating themselves to God. He's our God. Whatever worldview that they had changes to the point that says Jesus is the Messiah. And on that day, 3,000 did that. If you go to the next chapter, and the next chapter, and the next chapter, you'll see this happening. But I just want you to see just one time, just one, before I dismiss this morning. In the next chapter, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John, just these two disciples. Now, it's a whole other way of looking at it. Talk about exciting. See, a lot of times Christian lives, again, we go back to thinking, why do I need to be a Christian? Let me tell you, it's the most exciting life if you're living a Spirit-filled life. God will put things in your path and you'll go, boy, I don't know what's happening today, but my eyes are going to be open. In their case, is they're going to the temple and they're walking by a beggar that is crippled. And he says, you know, do you have a little? And Peter and John says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk! I'm sure he's going, what? I just want a little silver gold. I didn't want any. But the story is that he jumps up. Now, what would you do if you just got healed? Of course, he goes running and leaping, praising God. And things go crazy. Because now people that are there that are believers, now they're actually again seeing events that are... It wasn't just Jesus' time. Now you're seeing a man that had never walked walk because they had seen a dead man walking. What's all this walking? Things are different. It's a new day. I'm going to... Baby, I'm going to go. Let's do it. The people that are in leadership at this time, the religious leader, let me tell you, they're good people. We want to, you know, paint big, dark, dastardly, you know, people. They're good people. They just had the wrong perspective. They didn't believe in Jesus. They had a way of thinking that this is the only way. So they take Peter and John, they put them in jail, they bring them back, and the Sadducees... See, they didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Sorry. That's true. Now you'll know that. You'll be at a dinner party and you'll say, you know, the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Someone say, I saw that movie, Chosen? No, Chapel 24. All right. Sadducees. They were part of the group. Different than the Pharisees, but the Sadducees got him because the disciples are going, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he rose from the... They didn't believe in the resurrection, so they get, and oh, it opens it up. Because now they're bringing him on court, and they begin to preach. They gave him a format, they gave him a platform, and so the disciples started, if you're saying that we did wrong by helping this guy that was crippled, what's up with... But the power that we did it, that you're asking who we did it, Jesus Christ, who you crucified, then they go this, that raised from the dead. Now watch this. I say all this because what happened after that event, here you got a 40-year-old guy that is, he's about my age, a little younger, maybe, but he's 40 years old. He's running around, jumping, and he can't be stopped. I mean, he's praising God, and they're trying to shh, and the disciples are preaching it. Resurrection! He was alive! I saw him! It's not something that you saw him? The 3,000 that are part of the church, now it says, I'm sure somebody's here going, really? It says that it grew to 5,000 people. You've got to be kidding me. Here is a group of people that have a following, but it's more than just what they've been taught. It's more than something that happened in a miracle, because that didn't change their lives. It was because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that now there is 5,000 people, which will become a very little. It's very big now, but a very small number in light of what will happen in the next few hundreds of years. So much that because the disciples preach the resurrection and they make disciples and they make disciples, that there's a day coming when the most powerful country, Rome, that will put people, martyrdom, will become, Christianity will become their religion. Now, here's another thing. If you're not a Christian, you got to consider this and at least wrestle with this. The disciples that hid in the upper room, the people that were scared, they saw the miracles, but it didn't change them. They heard the teachings, it didn't change them. But the resurrection did such an impact on their life to convince them that he was the Son of God, that every one of them died horrific deaths. I mean, Peter, here's the guy, as I just said, was scared of a little girl accusing him, that he's preaching before thousands. We know that 3,000 men, so if you think about it, even back when you think 3,000 men and it 12 to 5,000, a lot of times they were just counting men. So if you have wives, another 5,000, 10, and you have their children there, maybe 13, 15,000. Let's just not, it's like 10,000 people have now come to the church and it's growing. That Peter, on the day that he will not recant, do you think for a minute that if it was a phony, if Jesus was a phony or they're pulling some kind of gag, that they would go to death over it? I don't. But when he is crucified because of his faith in the resurrection of who Jesus is, the Son of God, that he even says and goes as far as saying, history tells us, that I cannot be crucified. I'm not worthy to be crucified or die like Jesus was. And they turned him upside down on the cross just so that he didn't die the same way. Can you believe a man's life has changed? Maybe you can, because some of the people here today will say, that's what happened to me. My life has changed. See, some of us are old enough and we've experienced for ourselves, because somebody might come into our lives and like this happens a lot of times in teenagers' life where they've been raised in a Christian home and they go, you know, I'm not real for sure if Jesus, if God is who. And it's okay. Mom, I know we had our children and one of them said, is it? And of course you're knee-jerk reaction, what are you talking about? But here's what you say. Whoever you've been talking to, because there's always somebody, you know, that 13-year-old that's a genius, you know, prodigy, the next Einstein. He's got it all figured out, and he's telling kids, how do you know? And here's what you tell your children. Tell that Einstein kid, that we know Jesus rose from the grave. What do you got? Because at the end of the day, you know what that means? When we shut our eyes for the last time, eternity is too long to be wrong. And for us as believers, we put our faith, we put all of our trust in the teaching, and we can believe with integrity. This morning, I want you to understand that the people that were there believed not with what they just heard, but what they saw. They saw a dead man walking. They saw a dead man. Do you hear me? They saw a dead. The Romans, not the Jews, not the disciples, put Jesus to death so they could do. The Romans put him to death. They saw him die, and they saw him resurrected from the dead this morning. Why would the creator of the universe do that for you and me? I could give you all of my theological training and teaching as a pastor, but here it comes down to one word, and it's love. He's crazy in love with man, with mankind. And he says, I will go to earth and die for them so that they, if they choose me, that their sins can be forgiven and they can spend eternity with me in heaven. We sing a song that's called Amazing Love, and it's truly amazing. And sometimes in our mind, we try to figure it out. We try to contemplate, how did that happen? And this is why. Try not to disprove it. Just accept it. God, you love me so much that you're willing to come and die, that your death then pays for my sins and I can be forgiven. What do you do with that? Would you just bow your heads? This morning, each one of us get a free will. We get a free choice. And we've talked about this so many times. The choices we make today determine where we are tomorrow. You say, Pastor, I've made that choice and I'm not perfect. Nobody here said you have to be perfect. Somebody's told you that. But the Word of God says that His grace is sufficient for us, that we can be forgiven. This morning, if it's your choice to be forgiven, here's the response of Jesus. He said in the book of Revelation, it says that He says, I'm standing at the door knocking. Anybody that hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in. We believe that the Holy Spirit comes into our lives when we make a commitment to Him. But the power of the Holy Spirit empowering us to be a witness can come upon us, the gift that is given to us and to the children and to those that have not been born yet, that we receive that to be able to live a life that follows Jesus Christ. Understand today that a verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 23 said, for all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nobody in here perfect. There's nobody in here that you say, I could never do. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that if we stay in our sin, the wages of sin is death. There's a consequence. But see, God gives us the ability to have a better consequence. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We get a choice. Do we receive Jesus into our life? A free gift? We don't do anything. We don't have to jump through a hoop. We just say, God, I believe that you are God. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins, and I'm asking for my sins to be forgiven. I choose to not only make you Savior of my life, but Lord of my life. That means, God, I want you to direct my life. The Bible, not John Miller, says that if we confess with our mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead, that we will be saved. Maybe you've heard it's hard to do it, but sometimes it's so easy people will choose not to do it because they think it can't be that easy. It can't be that good. That when we sin, we can ask for forgiveness. That He has redeemed us, which means He's purchased us back. He's bought, He's paid for the price. And this morning, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. And maybe you said, Pastor, I made a decision 50 years ago, 60 years. I want you to, again, in your heart right now, to make another decision, a fresh and daily decision. God, I choose you. Not on what somebody else has said, but God, on what I believe. You are my Lord and Savior. This morning, I'm going to pray. And just right there where you're at, I want to ask you to pray with me. Father, today I make you Lord of my life. God, I have a free choice that God, that you have given me. And Father, I choose you to be my God. God, I choose to follow you as a Christian, a disciple, a follower of you. And Jesus, you said there's no way to go to the Father except through you. God, I receive Jesus into my life and I ask for forgiveness of my sins. In this I pray, amen. Amen. This morning, today is Easter Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday. This message will change your life for the rest of your life. That when you have those voices speak to you, is God really true? You say, my God is. He rose from the grave. There's no other religion that believes that about their prophet, their teacher, because they can't. Today has been a good day. Because if you're a Christian, it seems like you have a message now that they're going to have to hose you off. You're so on fire for him. You're thinking, are you kidding me? And you think about the fear of eternity. If earth is a goalpost, where am I? I can't even see myself on that. It don't matter. God sees me. And my eternity begins the day that I give my life to God. Amen? What amen means is so be it. Yeah, so be it. Every promise that God gives us in the Word is yes. He's given it. It's up to you to say amen, so be it, and live it out. Would you stand with me this morning? In a few minutes, we're going to be dismissed. And we've dismissed a little bit before 12. And that's okay. There's nothing in the Bible that says we can't be dismissed 10 till 12. But what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate the next thing. Just put a smile on your face. You heard a great message about the resurrection. We're going to let the children pick up eggs. Now listen, we're a church that believes in candy. So there is candy in the eggs. I had somebody one time do a bunch of eggs with nothing in it because the tomb is empty. I said, put candy in that. So in a few minutes, and you know, if it was litter out there and we told the children to pick, it might take all day. But there's candy and it'll go, and they'll be done in less than 5 minutes. So if you have a car, we just want to ask you not to pull out for a few minutes, watch, slap some parents on the back. Man, that's a good looking kid there. Take a couple pictures, even if you got to delete them when you get home, the parents will never forget. Look at Harvey taking a picture of my little boy. I can't, look at that little girl. He loves my child. Whatever it is, grandparents, take pictures. Parents, take pictures. Smile. Congratulate your children on so many Christmas eggs. And then enjoy the day. You were listening. I'm still here. You're dismissed. Go get them.